Okay, we're in Perek Zion. And so let's go to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's start such a new union. So, Taiva Chachma im Nachalov, V'yoysa L'roye Hashemesh. Ki b'tzeil ha-chachma, b'tzeil ha-kosef, v'yisroin das, ha-chachma t'chayev v'oleha. So, what do we have over here? The toiva chachma im nachala. That wisdom and possessions are good. V'yoysa L'roye Hashemesh. What does it all mean? The Medrash brings our Pasuk as a mocker for the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that Yofer Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, Yofer Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, what's Toiva Chachma im Nachala is the same as saying Toiv Toira im Deretz. What does that mean? What does the Mishnah mean? That Toiv Toira im Deretz? Pashut, it means that it's good. In addition to learning, that a person should also work, panasa, and that doing both together is mashkachas oven, it's going to keep a person busy in such a way that he's not going to do avedas. There's an interesting Chavis Halvavis in the Shah B'Tachan, who says that this Mishnah, which says Toiv Toirim Derech Eretz, and what we're learning now, this pasuk of Toiv Chachma im Nachala, isn't necessarily an absolute. Chavis Halvavis has a question. He says, why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam make the world in such a way that you got to work for your living? It's so much nicer if all of us could just sit and learn, not work. Deswegen, Seimachal Hanes, because was der Panasse. Gotta have a living, gotta make a living. So the Chayyus of Ovis asks, he wonders why it is so, why should it be so? So the Chayyus of Ovis has two answers. He says, first of all, because going out into the marketplace and making a living is an enormous challenge to a person's Yiddishkeit. A very, very big nisyonos. Very terrible nisyonos. In the business world, in the professional world. Very, very big pressures. Want to make a living. Big nisyonos in honesty, lemuna, betochan, zeila, ribis, I know. Very, very big nisyonos. So if Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to challenge us, wants us to be oimed b'nisoyon, wants us to be good Jews, so the marketplace is a place to test us in that. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, go out and make your living. It's number one. Number two, he says, because too much free time, people tend to fritter it away and to waste their time, not use their time well. So if they wouldn't have to go out and make a living, who knows what they're going to do with their time? So therefore, it's a good idea to require a person should go out and make a panasa. So it's taif tairam deres. Zog de chayvus halvavus. Mimela. A person can demonstrate to the Rabbeinu Shleinu that neither of those two cheshbonos apply to him, so then the oil derech eretz would take be removed from him. That means if a person is in his hanhoge, his Yiddishkeit, in his ehrlichkeit, is so obviously a sholem that he doesn't have to be tested in the marketplace. That means that in the nisyonos which he has in his everyday life without going out to make a panasa, he's constantly a loichem, he's constantly an ole, he's constantly growing in his shamayim, in his emunah, in his bitachon. So then he's got all the tests that he needs right there, so then he wouldn't have to go out. And if he's the kind of person who won't waste his time, that means that even if he doesn't have to go out to make a living, every second is going to be precious to him. He's going to be a masmid. He's going to learn and use every moment of his time to the best possible advantage. So then the second reason falls away. So the Chavav is telling us that this Mishnah, which tells us that Toiv Tamatoyram Der Heretz, is not absolute. It's good for people for whom it's good. It's good for people who fall under one of the two categories which the Chavis have always explained. It's possible for a person to free himself from the oil of Derech Eretz by demonstrating to the Rabbeinu Shleinu that he doesn't fall under either of the two categories. Now, what are these psukim telling us? Perhaps they're telling us pretty much what the Chavis HaVavis is saying. We learn them carefully. What does it mean? Toiva chachma im nachala v'yaisa l'roye hashamash. Now, who are the roye hashamash? Now, those of you who have been in this from the beginning of Kahelas, when we started learning Kahelas, you know that in Kahelas in particular, and the whole of Tanakh in general, the Shamesh is always the symbol of Olam Hazeh, physical, non-Torah existence. Yisrael le'odam b'chol amolo shiyamal tachas ha-shamesh. And in Kohelet we saw that sometimes he uses the word Tachas HaShomesh and sometimes he uses the word Tachas HaShomayim. Whenever he uses the word Tachas HaShomesh, it describes a situation of physicality, Olam Hazeh. And a while back we discussed the Pasuk later on in the 11th Perek, where he says a strange Pasuk, where after said the whole time about Tachas HaShomesh, Tachas HaShomesh, this is Hevel, that's Hevel, this is no good, that's no good. There's a Pasuk over there which says, Umosaik ho'oyer v'tov le'enayim l'rois as HaShomesh. It says, light is sweet and it's good for the eyes. L'rois as HaShomesh, to see the Shemesh. So what's so good about the Shemesh? What's so sweet about the oil? Explained that the pshat is that there's a difference between whether you're tachas HaShemesh or whether you're lirois HaShemesh, whether you're outside it. To be tachas HaShemesh, it means to live one's life under the Shemesh, influenced by the Shemesh, where the Shemesh is boss and makes me take That's no good. That's havel, that's havolim, that's magisra in the odom b'chalamola shi'amel tachas ha-shamesh. The person lives his life tachas ha-shamesh. The person lives his life with a value scale, with a hierarchy of values, with ambitions, with plans, with ideas, with dreams, all of which are tachas ha-shamesh. That's bad. That's a horrible kind of life to live. And that's the hevel, the wasted kind of life, which Kahelas talks about. And he talks about the hevel of life. Some of you may remember how we defined hevel, but we won't go into that now. But later on he says, "Umosai ka'ar, the toivle nayim, liros es ha-shamesh." To stand outside, not to be tachas ha-shamesh, but to stand outside and to be lirois as Hashemesh, see the sun, that's mosaik. There's nothing sweeter, there's nothing more beautiful than the physical world which the Rabbeinu Shalom created. Make a bracha when we see something beautiful, see we see thunder, lightning, we see the first blossoms every year. Everything calls out brochas in us. All know the beauty of the world. The world is very beautiful. It's a wonderful gift which the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us. You look out, you see the trees, you see the flowers, you see the harmony of colors, the interaction, ecological balance, the myths and wonders of creation. Very, very beautiful. So we don't negate those chas v'shalom. We don't look away and say, this is something which is bad, this is something which we don't want to have any shaychus to. Chas v'shalom. Ki ere shomecho, ma'aset v'asecho, ve'yo v'kachovim, asher konantum. We want to see the whole beauty of Teva. We want it to work on us. We want it to influence us. We want it to catch our throat when we look at a beautiful sunset. The trick is to be on the outside, not to be tachas Hashemesh. Because it's tachas Hashemesh, that's no good. Be on the outside, to be Raya as Hashemesh, that's Toiv, and that's Mosek. Now, Lirois as Hashemesh, Mosek Ka'oy, the Toiv Leinayim Lirois as Hashemesh, that's okay. You see it. What about a Raya Hashemesh? Think that a Raya Hashemesh, that describes not a one time thing, but a constant thing. In other words, seems that there's a sort of in-between stage. There's the fellow who's tachas Hashemesh, and he's in bad shape. Then there's the fellow who can say with a full heart that mosoi ko'oyer v'toiv le'inayim l'roiz es Hashemesh. He's the guy who's all the way on the outside, and most of the time he's looking into his Gemara. Once in a while he looks and he sees the Shemesh. He becomes spoiled, he sees the beauty. That's gorgeous. That's wonderful. That's exactly as it should be. But what about the guy who's a Roya Hashemesh? A Roya Hashemesh. Tovo Chochmo im Nacholo v'yoyso lo Roya Hashemesh. Roya Hashemesh is the Pshat, somebody who's stuck on the outside, but he finds himself looking quite frequently at the Shemesh. In other words, he hasn't managed to wean himself away completely. In other words, he feels attracted to what the Shemesh stands for. He's not tachas Hashemesh. He's a person who, by inner discipline, by working on himself, by having Siyata Deshmaya, Mitzad HaSviva, Mitzad HaChinuch, he's managed to get himself away from Tachas Hashemesh. He's not tachas Hashem. But from where he's standing, he's a roya Hashem. He's attracted to it. He looks, he finds himself looking. And perhaps feeling sometimes that, well, this or that would be nice. What's so terrible about having things a little comfortable? So, the Gavahim Kohelis is saying, that's okay. Toivo Chachmo in Nachala. The Yaisa, the Raya Hashemesh. If you're a Raya Hashemesh, it's good to have your Chachmo with Nachala. In other words, there's nothing evil in having a certain amount of wealth, in having a comfortable income. These are wonderful gifts from Hashem. Now, if you are a Roe Hashomesh, if you're somebody who needs these things, so that's okay. That's also a gift from Hashem. Every Rosh Chodesh we ask Hashem for Chayim Shel Oisha V'Chavod. We ask Hashem for wealth. That's a funny thing to ask for. I think that any Baal Sechel, he were asked, well, you want to be wealthy? Is that something which you are dreaming about? Is that high on your hierarchy of wishes? Would you want to be wealthy? Would you want to be a wealthy person? I think that any Baal Sechel would say, Chas V'Shalom. Really? Yeah? I mean, real wealth brings along an awful lot of nesiyonos and very, very bad ones. And to balance wealth with real Yiras Shamayim, I'm sure it can be done, but it's not easy. So, Shlomo HaMelech was worried by that. Mishlei. Praise to Hashem. He says, Reish v'oisha al titen li. Shechein li lechem chukim. He says, don't make me too poor. Don't make me too rich. Shlomo HaMelech was afraid that he couldn't handle excessive wealth. Still we do daven, right? Chaim shel oisha v'chobet. We do want wealth. So I guess, what do we mean? What are we mechaven to when we ask for Chaim Shel Oisha V'Chavod? I guess that everybody is mechaven to what by him is Ashiras. A friend once in Lakewood, very big tzaddik, a younger man, and that time, even when I was there, it wasn't easy to live on $40 a week, the famous $40. So, but that was what the younger man got at the time. That's what we all got. We got $40 a week from the college. So, some people, wives worked, or had this or that, were able to augment that a little bit. Now, this younger man had nothing besides those $40. So, I asked him once, Nu, so how are you making out? So I said, Nu, Baruch Hashem, but Tzimtzum, right? I'm just about making it. So I asked him, Nu, how much would you need to live the Harvacha, right? I mean, if with $40 you're living but Tzimtzum, how much would you need to live the Harvacha? So I said, Pasha, this is $41. No problem, right? So if he had $41, so that would be like by him, that would be living the Harvacha. And he wasn't kidding, he meant it, right? So by him, I guess, when he was being mispalel and by Kiddush HaChodesh, whatever, I imagine he was being mispalel that the check should go up to $41. Somebody else may have a different need, more highly developed, greater degree of Aisha. Is there evil? Is there something wrong in having an income? Being able to buy yourself a shirt when you need it, or being able to buy food when you need it, being able to go for a vacation when you need it. What? Versteht sich? That's a neutral concept. There can be something terribly wrong with it, and there can be something terribly right with it. What could be wrong with it? What could be wrong with it? You know what they say by the Nochash, the Mother of the Gavod, like it's a little drushy, but it's ausgehalten anyway in the Yesoides. Just learned last week about the Nochash. Agachain Chotelech, dort in Vorof, Atoichel. So some of the time, I don't know who said it, maybe you've heard the word, and you know who said it, I don't know who said it. What kind of klal is that? Well, that's beautiful, right? I mean, if you eat offer, you're never going to go very hungry, right? I like pizza, so either I have it or I don't, right? So if I don't have it, so I'm in trouble. But if I like offer, so when am I going to be missing offer? So the snake is never going to go hungry. So what kind of a bracha is that? What kind of a klal is that? It's the biggest bracha. Nope, no. Always have plenty of food. Never go hungry. What can be bad about that? So they say, all right, it's for their tools, but that's what they say. They say, that's taka the worst klala. Never to need the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Never to have to turn one's eyes towards Hashem and say, help me, I'm short. I'm missing something. I don't have it. An interesting medrash. The medrash says, Vayhi v'shalach paro esha'am. So Vayhi is loshen vay. Vayhi always means somebody's groaning, chachting. So the shalach, the medrash over there, who was groaning when the Yidden went out? So one loshen in the medrash says that Pharaoh was groaning. Pharaoh was sorry when the Yidden left. Why? No more makas. Right? Understand? So what's so terrible about that? You'd figure like he'd had enough. But the answer is not that way. As long as he had the makas, right, he was right there in Centerfield. The boys don't care about him by punishing him. But at least he had a zikah to Hashem. He mattered. Once the Yidden were out, whoever heard of Pharaoh again, his kesher to the Rabbeinu Shlalom was broken. Right. It's only one thing worse than having makas. That's not having makas. Right? If that means that you're finished. The Vayishon has lost complete interest in you. Gemara says, sailors are Yerei Shamayims. Because they're constantly in the hands of Hashem. You're out in a little boat. Boat gets tossed around in the sea. Very flimsy. Very dangerous. Constantly in a state of danger. So they constantly have to turn their minds towards Hashem. So sailors are tzaddikim. Who are they? Figure if somebody had to make a list of, right, of various professions in order of who's the greatest tzaddikin, yeah? I don't know whether we would put sailors on the top of the list. So what's Takav Shad? Moses says the tzaddikin. So what does it mean? What it means is what we're saying. Nothing makes a person into a tzaddik, nothing makes a person into a rasha. It's how he uses things, what he does about it. If a sailor wants to be a tzaddik, he can be a very, very great tzaddik. I mean, if he goes out into the sea and he tells himself constantly and he allows himself to feel that he's in the Yad Hashem, he has a golden opportunity to become a great tzaddik. That's what I mean about the income. Is it bad or is it good? Let's not talk about profligate riches. I don't know whether any of us could handle that well. But that's a decent income. That I don't have to worry about. Is that good or is it bad? Well, it depends. It depends how I cope with it. can be a terrible klala. It can be the equivalent of the snake. You've got your offer, got your monthly check or whatever it is, and Fakir Ribbono Shel Olam says, fine, look, here you are, get off my back. That would be terrible. It would be a terrible klala. On the other hand, it can be a wonderful bracha. Don't have to worry. My mind is ponu for more important things, for more significant things. It could be a wonderful thing. Depends on the kind of person I am. Depends what I do about it. If I'm the Chayvus Havovus's man, right? And use these gifts in the way that they're meant, namely as help to allow me to concentrate on Ikrim. It's very nice, it's a good thing, it's a great blessing. That's what we ask Hashem for. That's what Hashem promised us. Vasafta the Ganefo, Zirofo, Yitzarefo, Esav the Sotho, Lefantefo, Alto the Savoto, there's no bigger blessing. It can turn into a terrible curse. Begin to take it for granted, if you begin to allow it to orient yourself towards it, to become a grabber, if it becomes significant, if it becomes important, then it's bad. That's what this pasuk is saying. Ki betzeil ha-chachma, betzeil ha-kesef. See, that's very beautiful, the Lashon over here. You see, what did we say about the sun? The sun, Tachas HaShemesh, right? The sun is the Olam Hazeh. The sun is this very, very fierce light of Olam Hazeh shining down. So the Pasuk is saying, V'tzeil HaChachma, if you put Chachma in between you and the sun, creating a shadow, then Betzela Kesev, then the Kesev is also in that shadow, and then it's fine. Then it can be a great help, it can be a great Tayelis. The trick is to get out of the sun. The trick is not to be Tachas HaShemesh. Make a shadow. How does a shadow work? Shadow works, you put something between you and the source of the light, so then you're in the shade. Right, we just came out of the sukkah, which was tzilsa meruba mechamasa. Tzeil is a good thing. Block the light of the sun. Then betzeil hakesef. Then kesef is also in the tzeil. By inference, we conclude that kesef under the sun is horrible. That's taka terrible. Then it's taka a poison. That's the worst thing that can happen to a person. Kesef, Shetach et Chazal. Kesef is, why is money called Kesef? It's Lashon Kisufin. Ki Nichsov Nichsafti. Chof Samafei is the Shoyrish in Hebrew, which means to desire, to crave, right? So Kesef is that which a person craves very much. It's a funny thing, Kesef. We all like money very much. The funny thing, what if you like money? If you like candies, you can eat them. Like a nice jacket, you can wear it, you look nice. Why do people want money so much? The answer is because money is everything, right? Candy is a candy, but it's not a shirt. A shirt is a shirt, it's not a steak. But money is everything. Money gives you everything. So there's a terrific craving for money. So it can be a terrible poison. Chazal, that ain't other mace, b'chatzi tavosa b'yoda. Says that nobody dies with having even half that which he craves. Because Yesh Lomona, Yesh Lomasayim, he wants Abba Meyas. The Vali Musa say, you see, it's pshat is like this, it's not a pshat is that you're not satisfied. The pshat is that your needs increase the whole time. Right? If you have 100 and you're under the sun, so you want another 100. So how much are you missing? 100. Yesh Lomasayim, he has 200, so he wants 400. So how much is he missing? 200. If he has 1,000, how much is he missing? Another 1,000. Right, so the more he has, the more he's missing. It's pushing like that. Because you get used to luxuries, you get used to all kinds of nice things, so then you want the next thing too. It works that way. But betzeil ha-chachma, betzeil ha-kesef, if you put chachma between yourself and the sun, and you live in the shade, so then it's good. The Yisrain does. It'll help you to acquire more knowledge. It's a big blessing. If you don't know where tomorrow's breakfast is going to come from, that can be worrying. And it can be matred your machshavas. So you won't be able to learn well, you won't be able to daven well. You got on your mind, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So this nachalov, which is there together with the chachma, it's good. Yisrael does. It increases knowledge. Hachachma techaye v'aleo. Wisdom can imbue life because it can give everything which we have, everything with which we deal, meaning, value, toelos. That's the picture which is painted over here. Toiv toira in derech eretz. Shigiyas shneim ashkachas ava. Practical terms, what does that mean? Practical terms, does it mean a person wants to plan his life? How much of a role should the need of a decent income, let's not talk again about, like I said, profligate riches, but how much of a role should a decent income play? What if I tell myself, look, good, I've learned careless now and I know what I'm supposed to do. And that's how I'll do it. I'll put up a canopy of chachma. It means I'll be Isaac and learning and Torah and Yerush Shamayim. And Mimela, my kesef will be in sale. Won't be there under the glaring rays of the sun. So forget Yisroin Das and Chachmut Chai Bale, I got it made. Well, the answer, of course, is that sukkim like these don't deal in absolutes. Shlomo HaMelech is telling us over here is a theoretical combination of circumstances which can have these and these effects. He's not telling us in practical terms what is desirable and not desirable, let us say, within the framework of the 1980s in Pikesville or in New York. Right? In other words, is this sort of idealized combination something which is accessible to us? Now, it's very nice if I have it. Taiva chachma im nachala. But many things which are nice. Is it within my reach? Can I do it? Ought I to want to do it? Well, there the answer, of course, is what are the costs? what will it cost me to acquire such a standing? What will I have to sacrifice? Does it mean going into a framework within which I come together with people who will schlep me away from my Tara, from my Kedusha, from my Arochen, and schlep me into the mud? Not Kedai. I can't have it. Will it schlep me into situations where I'm going to have to compromise my Ehrlichkeit? Where I'm going to start having to cut corners, whether in Emunah Shailos or whether in Chashon Mishpat Shailos? It's nice in theory. It would be good if we could have it, but we can't. Maybe that's a price which we have to pay for being in Golos. Maybe there's no way to qualify for Chochmah and Nachala in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Maybe there is. But it's no absolute. Not everything goes overboard relative to such a cheshbon. Everybody's heard that from well-meaning parents or well-meaning friends or well-meaning sviva. What's wrong with having a nice panosa? What's wrong with being comfortable? You enjoy having a suit every yontov, a new suit, or you enjoy having the car when you can spare it. Well, why don't you shtelevek your life in such a way that you should be able to earn the kind of money one day that you'll be able to do these things? The answer may very well be because I can't. Because I can't trust myself. Because the circumstances which are necessary in order to bring this about simply are treif, simply are not available to a Bentayl. That's not an absolute either. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. What I mean is that it's not a given. Again, the person may well feel it's all very nice, and avada gewiss, it can be an unbelievable ta'elas to have the menuchas ha-nefesh, to have the peace of mind of the combination of chokhmah and nachala. That's great. Sacrifice is too big. Maybe this theory is applicable to somebody who at age 4 started learning Teresh of Iksav and finished it at 8 Achreis, yeah, and by 10 and 11 or 12 he had Mishnah, he's finished, and by the time he's 20 years old he has Roif of Shas under his belt. So this guy, he can afford to think in terms of peace of mind, peace of mind, whatever it is, yeah, Achreis on it. I spent 12 years out of my life, right, going to high school or going to grad school and learning very little. My Eitzah of information as far as Torah is concerned is pretty fully small. I can't afford it. It wasn't said to me. It's a luxury which I can't permit myself. It's another chesed which a person may have. Sometimes perhaps he should, perhaps he shouldn't. The yesod is not an absolute. And we need to know that when we form our hashkofas about these things. This particular inyan which we've been talking about tonight, it's a very, very lemaisetika one. It's touches on decisions which everybody has to make. It touches on conversations which every single person has with his parents or with his friends or with his sviva. So we need to know where we stand. If we would go along and tell the world everything's type and everything is no good and it's possible not end, the Torah tells us definitely. It's never good to put yourself into a position of defending something which isn't true. So we need to know what the emes is. The emes is Toivo Chochmah and Nachala. Vaseh L'roi HaShomesh, Tzeila Chochmah, Tzeila Kesef. See, good. That's the one half of the coin. The other hand of the coin is that who are we to to arrogate to ourselves the assumption that whatever is good and whatever is desirable is our due or is accessible to us. If it's so good and if it's so wonderful, maybe we have to deserve it. Maybe we don't. Maybe the Rabbi Hashem is withholding from us the Hechatimtzah, which would make it possible. These are some of the Cheshbonos which we should be thinking about. Maybe next week we'll continue a little bit longer. We learned last time, Ki v'tzeila chachma v'tzeila kesef, v'yisrein das ha-chachma t'chaye ba'aleh. Taina that once the chachma creates a tzeil between the shemesh and the kesef, remember that the tachas ha-shemesh, somebody who's very megushim, whose life is oriented by the shemesh, but that chachma creates a tzeil, and v'tzeil ha-chachma v'tzeil ha-kesef, and the fakat, sometimes a person has some of the creature comforts. Sometimes it helps. Moses says that Shloisha Dvorim, Achivim, Daita Shel Odom, they create a certain degree of Rachvus Hadas, Dirono, Ishono, Kelemno. So some of you expressed an interest in pursuing that a little bit, so let's talk about that a little bit. What are the rights and wrongs of having these tzrochim? Younger man, one of these days you'll all be in the Parshim, Yetz Hashem, you make chasna, you learn in the Kollel. What level of comfort, what level of luxuries ought you to feel are required, are necessary, are good, are bad, are indifferent? The shaila is a shaila. It happens as often as a younger man sits down or what you call it, goes and makes chasna. Is there an objective value, let's say, in furnishing your home in a very Spartan kind of way, everything the very minimum of what you can get by with? Is that a worthwhile chelek of avodah? Or not? What if a person can afford the luxury, or to indulge in it? What if a person can make do very much but symptom, without being muttered himself on the tzibur? But by being matter himself on the tzibur, he can live a little more comfortably according to the standards of the community. These are all very wichtige shailas about the person who takes his life seriously and wants to run his life the way a yid is supposed to run his life, that means the way the Rabbi Hashem wants. These are shailas which a person should ask himself. Let's start with the union of being matter oneself on the tzibur. Means nowadays the teva is a derech, is younger man, makes chasna, so he learns in the kollel.
And the Koiler supports him.
Gets a stipend, he gets a salary, whatever it is.
And where does that come from?
That comes from people who support the Koiler. It means that Sibun is called upon to support the Koiler,
which in turn supports the people who learn in the Koiler.
Is that something that's good? Is it something that's bad? Is it something that's desirable? Is it something that each person as an individual should see as an okay thing to do? Should he try and avoid it? These are complex shailas. Certainly in a general sense, we can say, which is endless of course, that we know that today the Koiler is up.